just as he was about to hit enter on buying the tickets, John rings back and goes, "We're going to China." Liam has massive plans. Right. You know, this could be manufacture right through to the retailer. Amazing supply chain story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, I'm chatting to Ivan Eustace, the co-founder of Tapatag. This is an incredible episode. I'm going to flag that with you right now. Ivan is what I would call a stealth success story. You might not know the name, but he has done business and sold businesses to some of the biggest entrepreneur names in the world. You're going to hear how he built and sold his company to Liam Casey, one of the biggest entrepreneurial success stories in Irish history. You're going to hear his relentless curiosity and what drives him. I am fascinated by serially successful entrepreneurs who've started multiple businesses and continue to do so. It is an exciting story and it's a fascinating story into one of Ireland's most successful but less well-known entrepreneurs. You're getting a real exclusive here. Here's my chat with Ivan Eustace, the co-founder of Tapatag. But first, quick thank you to our partners. Thanks to my partner, Square. Everything your business needs, like payments, point of sale, e-commerce, inventory management, chatting endlessly about the weather? Well, you're on your own there. Square. Everything your business needs. Almost. Visit square.com. Ivan, welcome to the pod.
Cheers.
I've been looking forward to this one.
Good to be here.
There's been one on the cards for a while. I've been looking forward to this one.
Yeah, exactly.
You're one of these guests. I'm just not sure where to start with.
Yeah, I know.
Where do we even begin? Let's begin at the beginning.
Well, it was a room, I'd say, quarter of the size of this in Glasnevin. Tiny room, back bedroom of a house in Glasnevin. Two tables for me and Johnny to go in there. Left two good, well-paid jobs. Didn't have a bean to our name, not a bean.
What were you doing?
We worked in distribution, in IT distribution at the time. That's how I got to know John. We just had the burning ambition to do something ourselves.
That was always in you, was it?
It was always there.
I'm always curious. I'm always curious. Go, what's the origin? Like, what was? Yeah. I think it's in a lot of us. And then some people are like, "Oh, it's just going to happen." Whereas I think that burn is in.
Yeah, it was always there. It was always there for Johnny as well. But you know, it was a huge risk. You know what I mean? We decided to be lean. You know, and move into my rental accommodation. There was a back bedroom I wasn't using. We were lucky in that the attic was all unused space and we could put the stock up there. And we went to the banks to see if we could get some money.
What were you doing? What was the idea?
The idea was basically we saw a niche in the area at the time in the IT industry to customers that we knew to sell in memory, hard drives. There was also a bit of an appetite around that Apple space dealers out there for memory and hard drives and things like that. And we thought we would do a good job in that space. You know, we knew where we could buy it low in the UK and sell it a bit higher and make a modest margin. That's where we targeted at the start.
When was this?
This is around 2000, Gary.
Okay. Yeah.
And people were saying to us, don't set up a company in 2000.
The dot-com crash. Everything was bleak. But everyone says there's always a reason
I still remember the exact date, 31st of July, 2000. Because I think I used that as my alarm code for the house for many years after.
He doesn't use that anymore, just to be clear.
I don't use that anymore. Well, we needed a bit of money to buy the stock in, went to the banks. I remember that meeting so well. Went in there looking for an overdraft or some sort of business. And they were looking for Johnny to he had a house at the time. I didn't. I was in a rent to remortgage the house to protect it. Asked him, did he have any money? Stood up in the meeting, pulled out his pockets, says, that's what I have. Nothing. Wouldn't give it. But we had.
How much were you looking for?
What we had. I say we were looking for about 10K just to get going.
So not mad money.
Not mad money, Gary. But I had a 5K overdraft facility on my personal credit card. So did Johnny. I said, listen, it's now or never, let's do it. You know what I mean? And the giddy, nervous laughter on day one when we were in the back bedroom going, what have we done? You know, and we didn't have a fax machine to get an order if we did get an order. Didn't have a bean to buy a fax machine. So we got on to our friend Mark Daly at the time and brother up in Santry. And he said, I've got a demo one here. I'll bring it down for you guys and get an order. Yes, we got a lot of encouragement at the time as well. And we just hammered the phones every day.
I was going to ask you, how do you start? Because there's always the question, back how do you go then, from zero
Gary,
to one?
Yeah, back then, Gary, we hammered the phones. We would just ring everybody. You know what I mean? We had this and we had two or three good suppliers that we were paying COD up front for in the UK that we could buy the stock off. I still remember the guy we bought off in the UK. And he was great to us. And after three or four orders, he started to give us credit.
Right.
You know, and we got our customers to pay up front. Challenging, but we did. You know what I mean? They supported us as well. They wanted us to succeed. So,
what were you selling? Like, what kind of stuff? Memory, hardware,
memory,
all kind of
hard
stuff?
Drive, networking cable, networking cards, all that stuff back then was actually taking off. People were connecting. Mm. You know what I mean? That was the buzz. We just completely, but we loved it. You know what I mean? It was just so cool. Like, I remember those days vividly, you know, on the phones all day. One of us would hop up into the attic. We'd have the pick slip of orders we had to get out today. Our goal back then was to beat yesterday. Just nice. Beat yesterday. Yeah. Have different...
Simple metrics.
Simple.
Yeah. Very, don't overcomplicate, you know, things.
We got five orders today. Today we got seven.
Nice.
Today we got eight.
Yeah.
And we would pile the orders up in the hallway. You know, at the start it was in nothing. And then as the months grew on, it was bigger. And then it was going all the way outside into the driveway and just making sure all the orders were right. TNT driver beeping the horn goes, you guys are never ready. You're never ready. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was a startup. But still to this day, Gary, I would say top five achievements of what we've done through our career, that turning over $1 million from a bungalow in Glasnevin.
Wow.
With 10 grand overdraft on personal credit cards has to be right up there as one of our biggest achievements.
You know, $1 million, like in yeah. real terms, like that with inflation, that's a huge figure now.
Yeah.
That is a huge figure. 23 years ago now, that is a massive figure.
And towards the end of the year, my brother joined. We had basically no room. You know, he was squeezed in there. I was squeezed in there. You know, my wife, we didn't pay ourselves for the first 8 months because we just kept on needing more stock and stuff. You're on that train to support your customers.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, was supporting us. Johnny's wife was supporting us.
This is the reality of the business, reality. Though.
Yeah.
You know?
We were lovely and lean. It's a key word.
Yeah.
Beautifully lean. And brother joined, and his first job was to get us a unit because we were fairly close to getting evicted from the whole residential area. It was mayhem.
No one neighbors writing angry letters to like, whom it may concern.
No one wanted to be down that end. You know what I mean? That's where those boys are operating now.
I think they're dealing something.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's hot, you know. But so he got us a unit out in Blanchetown, and we went from there. And then TNS grew at a rapid pace, but at a similar time to when we were taking off a famous company from Cupertino with a famous CEO was coming back, and they were reinventing themselves, bringing out beautiful MP3 players, beautiful products, aspirational products. And there was lovely in the US micro startup companies starting making accessory from them. So if you bought one of the device, it was incredible. For the first time ever, there was a consumer product out there that had, you wanted maybe four or five accessories for it.
Yeah, the demand was just
phenomenal. Huge. So you might have a case, you might have a set of headphones, you might have something for your car to connect into the radio in your car. So it was just the demand, huge pent up demand.
So your timing was bang.
It was very, very, timing is everything, as you know. But so it was beautiful. The timing was amazing. And a lot of these American companies like Griffin, like Extreme Mac, like iSkins were, hey, how do we handle Europe? And we were just onto them straight away.
So you were working in Dublin, kind of servicing Dublin. Had you gone to the UK yet, or
no,
what were you
doing? We would service anywhere. We figured out pretty quick that on that TNT way bill, you could ship anywhere in the world.
All
you had to do, yeah. So you put down the address in France, it would go there, just a different rate. We're there, hey, listen, we can go global. We can ship from here anywhere. Even from the house in Glasnevin, we were shipping. We were attracting a few of those. We were on the phone to a few of those American startups. One in particular was Griffin at the time. They were a huge accessory maker. They just wanted someone to look after Europe. And we said, no problem, we can look after Europe. We're there, get this, it'd be huge. You just, any inquiries come in for Europe, you just give it to us. You know what I mean? So,
and so did you contact these companies going, hey, we're them boys in Europe? Boys.
No problem. We just want someone looking after that country called Europe.
Okay. Yeah, what problem. You don't know.
We'll do it.
Because they didn't know your size. They didn't know where you were. No, they just knew.
What we did was on the bungalow we were renting in Glasnevin, it was a bit of ingenious at the time. We on the address label, we labeled it TNS House. Glasnevin. They were there. Hey, these guys are pretty big.
They own their whole building.
They own the whole building. You know what I mean? If they only knew.
One of those beautiful hacks, though. It's so simple, but it just instantly gives you that veneer of TNS House. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was just, if they wanted to come and have a meeting, no problem. We're really busy. We'll meet you in the airport.
Airport.
It'll save you coming into the city. The traffic's really bad.
Great idea.
Do you know what I mean? So, and then obviously when we moved out to Blanchestown and had our units and stuff like that, we could, you know, we didn't need to do that anymore. But you gotta do stuff like that to start.
Not get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Not just what do you need? We need more stock. Okay, get more stock. Don't be getting fancy offices. Don't be getting fancy things.
It was completely at the start. It was that term bootstrap really did apply to us. You know, it was, but we loved it. You know, it was still probably the best days. I just love that. You know, we'll get on to talk about, you know, Spats and Tappy Tack, but they were very similar. Do you know what I mean? In that it was, you kind of bootstrap that to start, you know, all that be that finance piece to buy in the stock. I was able to do it. You know what I mean? So it was good. But yeah, it grew at an alarming rate then, TNS, from there, just year on year, you know, double, triple digit growth, you know. It was phenomenal.
And that was just through graft, essentially. Through
graft.
Getting down, onboarding getting
new,
deals.
New vendors, you know, onboarding new customers, hanging our hat on the accessory king or the accessory distribution king for that famous Cupertino company that, you know, then went on to be and is still the top companies in the world today. And then what was happening, Gary, was they were buying third-party products that wasn't theirs and putting them into their store. And we were one of 15, you know, that was supplying accessories into their stores around Europe, around Asia. And they were opening, as they call them, their worship stores, where you'd go in and have a look at their product. And, you know, it was almost like, that's where the term worship came from. Going, wow, look at this, I want that. That term. And we were supplying them. But they had it in about 2008. We were a good size. We had warehousing around the world. We were supporting, great company to work with. They made us better every day. Fantastic, challenging, but they were great. They had this idea at the time that they were going to cut their 15 distribution partners down to 2 or 3. And it was a wow moment for us. Like, wow. You know,
wow, terrifying or wow, it's a great opportunity.
Well, I think it was a flip on both sides. We had one, we're going to work our ass off to try and win this, but chances of us winning this are quite remote. And how can we replace that revenue with something else?
I was going to ask you, was that a case of if that's gone, that could be the end of you?
You know, in that tender process, which went on for the guts of, I'd say, about a year, we were up against billion-dollar companies. Like huge companies, you know, and, you know, always in the back of our mind was, you know, we'll fight to try and win this and it would be game changing for the company if we win it. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to be realistic here. They're up against major competitors, you know, but the way that the kind of tender process went with them was they had 15, then they cut it down to 10. We were still in the race, you know, high-fiving. Then it was down to 6 and they were bringing those 6 to Cupertino. And then it was down to 4. And we're there, like, you know, we could actually do this. No, don't, let's not think of it. You know, Johnny was always, no, don't think ahead of ourselves. Let's think about next year and how we'd replace that.
Yeah.
He still didn't think we'd do it. And lo and behold, unbelievably, we did, you know. And to
so
this
you
day,
won you, the contract.
Yeah. So basically you walked in to any of their stores around Europe and then into Asia and you saw a third party product that wasn't made from them. That came from our warehouse.
Wow.
That came through our supply chain system and it was game changing. Literally overnight.
How long were you in business?
we were 2000. That was about 2008 or 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
And was that a blessing and a curse though? Because I'd imagine the scale at which you had to ramp up must have been colossal.
Yeah, you'd have to ramp up very, very quickly with them. And all of a sudden, overnight, you're talking to people like Beats by Dre and Jimmy Ivins and the teams there, and you know, amazing GoPro, just amazing consumer electronic brands that are all around the room here. They were all in their stores and they were consolidating distribution, and you'd have to go through these guys. Who are these guys? You know what I mean? So it was literally game changing overnight. And then what happened pretty much overnight, a lot of the people we beat in that tender process were knocking on our door to buy us.
Okay.
You know, so
can't beat them, join them.
Can't beat them, join them. And unbelievably, funnily, we went, me and Johnny, on our own to a few of these meetings. And it was a bit of a distraction. And we said, listen, we just need someone to deal with this to see if there's anything here. You know, we were still gung-ho at growing the business. And
well, you just achieved one of your massive goals. Yeah. You couldn't even have believed that would have happened 8 years ago. So it must be like head spinning. What do we even do now?
Yeah, incredible. Like, I still remember going to Cupertino, and we'd go into the gift shops and get one of their souvenir T-shirts and head home with them, buy them for the kids as well. Mad. And then, you know, you're one of their premium suppliers. It was just jaw-dropping, really. And they consolidated it down into two or three. So did you
have to rapidly ramp up then?
Yeah, we had to scale up. Yeah, absolutely. And we didn't need this distraction. So we met a guy, still friendly with him today, John Sheridan, of Key Capital at the time. And he said, no problem, I'll deal with this. And he produced an information memorandum on the company. And by that time, Gary, we were a distribution company. We had our own brand. We had our own logistics company. We believe we'd done good job. We were good. Our own brand was 150 lines. You know, Mark Gibbons, CEO of Tappy Tag, which we'll get onto, he was running our own brand then. Mm. And he's just one of the, you know, really, we had an amazing team, but, you know, he was one of those amazing members, you know. The brother working for the company, it was just a real great, I'm still friendly with a lot of the people from TNS, you know what I mean?
That's special to be able to say that. I think that's a great mark of any entrepreneur's character, if they can still be friendly with people they've worked with previously. That means you've treated people well, you've been fair, and you've brought people with you.
Yeah, so if there was any inquiries in on that side of it, John dealt with it, and it's over to him. We didn't get involved.
And were you considering selling? Considering looking at different options?
No. And we did a few meetings with John, you know, and just it wasn't the fit there, you know, with a lot of these companies that had kind of lost out on that tender process. And we just said, no, that wouldn't be a fit for us. You know, that wouldn't be fit for us. And I it mightn't have been as tight as this, Gary, but I remember it as being as tight as what I'm going to explain it to. On a Friday evening, we got a call into the main switchboard of TNS, and there was a guy by the name of Lee and Casey on looking for John and Ivan, you know, and it came through on whatever we were using at the time. It wasn't Teams or whatever. It popped up on Johnny's screen. Let's go into the boardroom and talk to Liam. We hadn't talked to him. We knew Liam. You know, and we knew Liam was probably manufacturing for a lot of the brands we were doing.
I think every Irish business person knows Liam Casey. He's a synonymous name.
Yeah. And went in and, you know, he was in China at the time. I have your information memorandum in front of me. Oof, really impressive job you guys have done. I've got big, big plans. Of course, Liam had big plans for PCH. And I've got a few of my VCs in town next week. Could you be in China? This was Friday. Could you be in China on Monday? And where do you go from there?
It's a bit of one of those questions.
Well,
you're like,
the first thing that comes to mind.
Could we physically? I'm not sure.
Well, that's the first thing that came to my mind, Gary. Could we physically actually get there? Johnny was on Skyscanner at the time. You know, I think we can, you know. And then we said, let us look at it, Liam. Yeah, we'd love to meet you. If nothing else comes of this, blah, 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 I've met you, we'll have made the connection. That's what Liam is all about.
That's some connection.
So rang John Sheridan, Liam's been on, wants us to be in on Shawnee on Monday. His kind of words at the time, listen, lads, let me check this out. I can't make it, you know, but I'll check PCH out. I'll come back to you. We're not going on a wild goose chase to China, you know, but I'll check this out. So he went off to check out what PCH's plans were, whether we should go there. I remember putting the phone down to John Sheridan. Johnny's over the other side of the room, working his way through the booking. He was going.
Action.
Just as he was about to hit enter on buying the tickets, which I think we were flying on a Saturday or Sunday the next day, John rings back and goes, "We're going to China." You know what I mean? "We're going to China. Liam has massive plans." Right. You know, this could be manufacturer right through to the retailer. Amazing supply chain story. And literally 24 hours later, Johnny goes, "Just as well, because I booked the tickets, John." You know what I mean? You're there. "Did he?" Yeah, the tickets are booked. All right. You know,
so it's magic. So home,
24 hours.
Explain to your
later.
Wife, going, I won't be home until probably.
And we got that a few
Friday
times.
Week.
We got that a few times with Liam. Got that a few times. He's always a bit nervous when Liam runs through because you could.
So Saturday morning, you're at the airport, you jet off, touchdown in China.
Saturday
a few
evening,
days later.
Sunday morning, we were on the border in China. Getting a visa at the border in China, and meeting Liam at the border, and heading off to Sunday night into Monday, into basically seeing what he was doing out in China, which was mind blowing. So, you know, we could see a lot of the brands that we were dealing with, he was actually manufacturing for.
Was this your first time out there?
Not to Liam, yes, but with China, we'd been out there quite a bit with Jivo, our own brand, you know. We hit it off with Liam straight away. He was the exact cut of me and Johnny. Like, he was just all opportunity. Still to this day, he's all about opportunity, you know, all about growth. You know, I'd still ring Liam and be on a high after the phone call. You know what I mean?
Certain people like that just have that energy.
Yeah.
Have that it factor.
It was just, you know, he could see, geez, the lads are, this, you know, we were identical, me, Johnny and Liam. Really great. Got on great.
What did he want to do with you guys?
So he wanted to acquire us, and he wanted us to be the front end of the distribution. So basically, you know, he was making for the likes of Beats by Dre. We'd be picking it up from him. We'd be putting it into retail.
Okay.
End-to-end supply chain. Phenomenal. So powerful. No one could compete with us. We're going to take on the world. You know, that's, you know, it was the... That Muhammad Ali type stuff was unbelievable. We were pumped.
Irish lads making it together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listen, Liam was a big operation. You know what I mean? It was phenomenal. And he goes, "Listen, you know, I remember being a whirlwind visit. Whirlwind. You know what I mean? We were seeing the operation. John was over, you know, talking to their finance department, everything. And then me and Johnny were whisked off to meet in Hong Kong. His VC, who were one of his main backers, and his name was Eric O'Brien. I remember going for dinner in a lovely restaurant in Hong Kong. Liam was sitting there, Eric was sitting there, me and Johnny were here, and Eric was just asking us question after question. It was all on the money thing, but really, you know, was this as scalable as Liam was and Ivan and Johnny were saying it was? And he was just an amazing guy, Eric. But I remember not touching any of the meal, Gary. I remember being when the meal, I think Liam had at ours, Johnny's, and he's at everyone's. He was so relaxed, smiling away there. That's the way.
And just another day in his life.
Yeah, just another day. You did really great there, guys. Leaving that there, left Eric. And 3 months later, we were part of PCH. Just, you know, it was, and we just went on a massive, you know, massive, even further growth play with Liam.
So he wanted to buy you, keep you guys on board and just let you drive.
Drive it. Yeah, we scaled up even more.
What was the feeling? I ask every founder of this who sold, what was the feeling when you did sell? What were your internal emotions?
It never changed anything.
Okay.
For us, it never changed anything. Certainly not with Liam and PC.
Were you ever tempted to walk away? Were you ever tempted to go, happy to sell, but I'm not going to.
No, we were so energized in that Liam, PCH environment. You know, they were almost part of our family as well.
Because it's rare. It's very rare for an entrepreneur, especially someone like yourself who's driven.
We stayed longer than our earnout. Mm. We stayed longer than our earnout. we would have stayed there for as long as Liam wanted us there. It was just loved him as a person, still do. Absolute great guy. And it was all about growth, 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 growth. I remember him ringing, we were part of the family. I remember us, every time the phone rang, Johnny goes, you can answer that. And he was, what's going to come next? I remember him ringing on a Monday and saying, you know, whenever Liam used the word, I've got an opportunity, I think we could win it. He was 80% confident he'd win the deal.
Okay.
I've got an opportunity. I need you guys in Singapore on Wednesday. This is a Monday. Here we go again. Do you know what I mean? And I think we can win it. So that's basically Liam saying we're 80% there. Again, we did the same thing. Flew that night on the Monday or Tuesday. Arrived morning on Wednesday. Went to the meeting with Liam on Wednesday and flew back on that exact same airplane back to London Heathrow because we had to be in London to meet another retailer. That was the kind of, you know, when Liam rang, what part of the rock are you on? He referred to the whole earth as the rock. We said, we're in London at the time. Where are you? You know, but everywhere was accessible within 24
that
hours.
That must be intoxicating.
Amazing.
That level of
amazing
intensity and yeah, life and opportunity, that must be like plugging into the mainframe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you wanted an energy boost, give him a ring. What you were doing. Yeah, it was just, it was great. It was exactly what me and Johnny needed. You know what I mean? We'd been, you know, doing this by ourselves, whatever, 10 or 11 years at that stage. And then suddenly you've got a guy as energized as you were, you know? So it was absolutely fantastic. It was brilliant. You know, they were great times. And did it change anything? No, I think we went out for dinner when we sold the company. That was it. You know, we had it with John Sheridan.
It always seems to be an anticlimax. I very rarely, I've asked this question probably 70 times, and very rarely do people say, oh, it's best ever and blah, blah, blah. Usually it's like, bit of an anticlimax, just go back to work.
Yeah, because we had so much stuff we wanted to do then in this new partnership. So it was absolutely, yeah, that was fantastic. It was brilliant.
So head down, drive on then for another couple of years.
Yeah.
And when did it all change again?
When did it all change again? Expose that, you know, that journey came to the end probably around 15, 16. We'd stayed on for a good bit. Liam decided he wanted to go in a separate direction to the company in Cupertino. So they went a separate path, separate direction. And as part of that, you know, that TNS arm of it was sold off. And we did that transaction then for Liam, and then we went our separate ways, and that, you know, that journey came to an end. But boy, it was an amazing 15, 16
I'll ask
years.
That follow up question. What did it feel like then? Because that was probably the real exit.
What are we going to do next? We were still young. That's the way me, Johnny, and now we had a third person, Mark, because we said, Mark, whatever you do, we want to be part of, because he was one of our best guys in the US. That was ringing in his ears for about 4 or 5 years. I can't do anything without Johnny and Ivan because they wanted to do it with me.
Right.
So initially we went into consultancy and we did consultancy work because a lot of these brands were saying, we need these three guys. They've done it.
Yeah.
We were working for distributors. We were working for brands and we were telling them how they could execute. And we were doing that and we enjoyed it. Did it give us that buzz? No. Because you're doing it for someone, you know.
It's transactional. Yeah. You go in, it starts, it ends. There's no build.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you strike me as the kind of character that needs that buzz.
Yeah.
So get that energy coming across the table from you. You need that mission.
So we did a few investments. We did that. And then the three of us had, but we were always, our eye was on something else.
Investing didn't scratch the itch for you?
No. And then
you need to be hands on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then through my TNS days, I suppose leads on to the spat story, Gary, in that I was grossly overweight, too much focused on TNS, needed something else to do. And I madly took up triathlon, you know, because
it's around 2015, 16.
No, well, it's way further back in TNS, I'd say about 2008, 2009, 8 years, basically not looking after myself.
Right.
Went to buy a house, failed the medical, overweight, fatty liver, cholesterol through the roof. Well, I need something to do. And I was watching the TV, saw triathlon on the TV and took that up. At the time, I was doing a bit of work for Temple Street and I wanted to do a bit of fundraising. And you'd always, in a sport, golf, you'd associate yourself to a Tiger Woods. Triathlon, I was looking at some of these pros that, you know, what they were doing was mind-blowing. And the guy in triathlon at that time was a guy by the name of Alistair Rowney. 2008, 2009, he was only a kid. He went to Beijing and he was leading the Olympics in Beijing and no one had heard him. Who is this guy they were looking up? And he totally changed the short course racing of triathlon in that generally it was survival. You do the swim, you do the bike, the fastest runner run the race. And suddenly there was this young kid that came along who absolutely smashed it from the swim, smashed the bike, tacked multiple times on the bike. And then this guy could run. He could do, you know, in his sleep, you know, the 10K in under 30 minutes was unheard of. So I, you know, being Irish, I mailed him, said, do you want to do a bit of fundraising for Temple Street? 15 minutes later, you know, he hadn't won the Olympics in London. He hadn't won Rio. This was pre that. He came back and said, yeah, always love a good Guinness. I'll be over when you need me.
Wow. You just reached out. Didn't have any relationships with him.
Total call, reach out, mailed him.
Love that.
And he came over and pre-London, he did two fundraising events for Temple Street. And then he won the Olympics in London. He was a household name then, you know. And then we just stayed in contact. We'd visit him in Leeds and stuff like that, back and forth. Had a keen eye for business, Gary, a real keen eye for business. Always bouncing stuff off me. I'd bounce stuff off him. Then he went on to Rio and won gold there in Rio. And that was really, I suppose, in the short course race, probably the pinnacle of his career, because it was a race where he won it from the gun, in that went out and absolutely caned the swim, got in a breakaway on the bike, caned the bike, and then they ran it home.
It's him and the brother. Is there a brother?
There's a brother there. There, Johnny as well. There's two of them. Yeah. Johnny's a great guy as well, and a phenomenal athlete. I suppose that's what makes them great. You know, you can the two of them, top. You know, and they can train with each other. So
there's definitely something in that having someone in the environment that you're in definitely.
So if Johnny
influences.
Beats Alistair, he goes, I got a good chance. Mm. Alistair beats Johnny in training, I got a good chance. Mm. That guy's top. So there was something in that. And then I remember, you know, I kind of, in the PCH TNS days were exited, and got a call from Alistair in about 2017. I think it was about 2017. He goes, when are you in Leeds next? I said, whatever you want me to do. Bit idle at the moment, just doing a bit of consultancy. I'll be there tomorrow. He said, I've been out on a bike and this guy I train with, who's a pro cyclist, it was a freezing day. We went through a puddle. My feet got wet. You know, from being out there, your feet get wet. It's terminal. Your ride's over in 20 minutes. You got to drive back home. He was fine. He was wearing neoprene up to his knees and it was a big overshoot. He said, I think there's something in this. And Tom's an amazing guy. He's looking for a business partner. I think me and you should go in with him, right?
Was Alistair always looking for the next thing?
He was always looking
for life beyond sport, was
it? Yeah, absolutely. You know, so, and he loved business. You know what I mean? And I said, right, I'll come over. It sounds a bit flipping far-fetched, an overshoot up to your knee. But, you know, has Alistair gone mad or is there something in this? So I went over. I still remember the meet so vividly. He said, you go in and meet him. I'm kind of convinced on this, right? Went into a pub in Leeds, met this guy, Tom Barris, and I loved him. He was amazing. And what he pulled out drawings of these overshoes that he'd had iterations of samples all the way through to what he had now today.
So he'd literally... mad inventor style, just come up with this thing.
How do I keep my feet warm?
That was it.
Yeah.
Start with a problem.
Yeah. And Alistair had given him some of his wetsuits and he'd cut those wetsuits up into the overshoe.
Clever.
Yeah. So I could actually see some of the wetsuits and some of the product. And I was there like this will either flop in 6 months or it will take off. This is something totally reinvented. An overshoe generally came up to the ankle, but this one came up to the knee. Tom, his charisma, how humble he was. You know, he had basically, he'd lived in Belgium to basically to accelerate his pro cycling career. He'd been in the top pelotons in the world with the best riders. He did web development at night time to pay the bills because his cycling wasn't paying the bills. His dad was a legendary cyclist. There was a lot of things bouncing in my head that this guy's got a lot of connection. He was an industrial design background. He was quite trendy looking. You know, he just, you know, fashion and stuff like that hit off with him. And he was so passionate about what this brand that he calls Spats. And Spats is basically, going back to the 1920s, was a shoe that came up over your ankles. So he decided to name the product Spats. He brought in, at the time, about 500, giving them to mates. They'd loved it. And he reckons we could make this product even better.
So he designed an MVP and was like, right, we're going to test this and see if we can get to market.
He tested it out and he said, listen, if you're in, I think we could sell 2,000 in next year, you know. And
so he wanted you and Alistair on board for capital and just a founding team or what?
Yeah, three-man team. We do it out of Alistair's garage, which I loved.
You were all over that. You're like, back to the best spare bedroom days. You're always trying to find that high again.
No heating, nothing in there. It was even more, there was nothing in there. There wasn't even electricity to the garage. We did an extension lead. There was nothing in there.
Brilliant.
Out to the garage, bought in 2,000. Tom's down the garage. And within a couple of months, so what he did was, which, you know, we're all working together. I said, Tom, seed them out to the pros. Yeah, I can seed them out. I know Wiggins, I know Cavendish, blah, blah, blah. And it was amazing that cycling fraternity, they rooted for him. They backed him. Mm. You know, Wiggins is on social, Cavendish is on social. All these guys love the overshoes, Tom, blah, blah, blah. And they just sold. What could we do next? Wow. We did a base layer. You know, then we did another overshoe. We got about four different versions of our overshoe. And they were just iconic in that when you see someone out there with a Spats overshoe, you know it's a Spats overshoe. It comes up to your knee. Now our competitors are copying us, you know. And it was just amazing. Now I look at Spats coming on. You know, I start at the bottom. We've got overshoes. We've got socks. We've got bib pants. We've got base layers. We've got gloves. We've got head warmers.
What was it like for you, though, as a founder the second time around, going back in? You obviously probably weren't going to be as hands-on this time.
Yeah, but
was it a challenge?
Yeah. Well, I was in the rag trade, Gary. Like, you know what I mean? Totally different industry.
Right.
It was, you know, you're into garments. You know what I mean? Different.
But were you day-to-day involvement or were you was it?
The way it is, and it still is today, we do a catch-up call as a team. Amazing young team. All with cycling, small team, all with cycling in their DNA, which I loved, and all energetic and passionate. And we do, still to this day, we do a weekly catch up. And then if Tom rings me to bounce an idea off, I'd be there.
Right. Ivan,
what should we do here? Bang. This is what, you know, I go back to my TNS experience.
You've got distribution experience, yeah.
We've got one of the best, you know, testers are our kit on the planet, and Alistair Brownlee, that when we have a new garment, he goes out there, tests it and says, yeah, I want to tweak this and change this. And generally what we try to do with every single piece we bring out is we try to reinvent it. Okay, this has been done. How would we do this product? How would we do our glove that's different? You know what I mean? How would we do our socks that's different? How we do everything that's different? We don't want to be like anyone else. So generally you see a Spats product and go, yeah, they reinvented this. This is a little bit different. It's really, really cool. You got to hang your hat on something. And at the start, where we hung our hat was on winter products for extreme weather. You don't have to be inside on your trainer. You can go outside now with the Spats product. You have to hang your hat on something, you know what I mean? And that's what we did. And it's fantastic. We have a lovely social following. And 70%, this month it'll probably be 90%, of our sales are direct to consumer.
Wow.
So direct to consumer.
That's powerful.
We've got a hub in the UK. We now, because of Brexit, have a hub in Ireland and an entity in Ireland. And where we've got a hub in the US as well. Yeah, so our products are predominantly made in Portugal. And from our Portuguese factory, it basically routed out to America, Europe, and the UK. And then it's basically online selling. And what we use our stores for is those Halo Worship stores. So we might have mannequins in there where you can actually see the Spats product on stuff. So again, not too dissimilar, I suppose, Gary, to what, you know, Beats
or GoPro
would have done. You know, if we're going to go into store, guys, these stores need to represent our product and our brand, you know. And then through online and social is Tom's network in that pro Peloton cycling community.
That's where it all kicked off. Yeah, he was able to see that out
in there. Mm. So if you look through the current Peloton and the current top riders out there in the world, there wouldn't be many of them that haven't had a pair of spats on once in their generation. You just look down through our Instagram feed, you'll spot the Matthew Vanderpoels in spats. And that's an amazing achievement for a startup from Leeds out of a garage. Like, you know, you've got, you know, top riders in our kit. It's amazing. Like, you know, that's the dream.
You know, it just goes to show you that ideas can come from anywhere. You just got into cycling just as a way of getting healthy.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, the universe rewarded you for just taking action.
Yeah.
You set that up with Alistair, got him over, and suddenly a new opportunity came.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, Tom is, you know, he is spats. And what me and Alistair done to support him, he had the idea. We thought it was good. Let's go for it. You know what I mean? And we could see that he was such a good guy. You know, people, you know, even to this day when we're launching a product, Gary, we launch it with Tom. He's out on the bike, on the environment where this product's been used. And you can see it in this. He's basically showing the glove. And this is how I use it. This is what I did. This is what I invented the product. And if we can just support, and there must be thousands of people out there, Gary, that didn't have an Alistair and Ivan to support it. Nothing's happened.
Yeah.
This, you know, I encourage him all the time.
It's a good lesson, though, what it takes to be a founder, to have a successful company. You need distribution. You need expertise.
Yeah.
You know, you can start from nothing.
Offer. Yeah.
You start from nothing, you might make it, you might not. But if you layer on distribution and expertise, you're more likely to start a rocket ship than not.
Yeah, yeah. Great guy. And he's still to this day ringing me yesterday with ideas for products. I'm there, wow. You know what I mean? Still the energy, you know, the drive and the love for it. You know what I mean? He still tries to get out on his bike every other day. And that's really important. You know what I mean?
That's work and play. It's always product testing. Always coming up with ideas.
I always see a video coming back on the teams, the WhatsApp group of him out, just tested this new product. And it's just, it must be beautiful for him seeing his brand flourishing where he had the idea for, and then every day he's on the bike, on his bike where he loved, testing a kit for his company and brand. It's just
beautiful. It's full beautiful. Circle. What year was that?
That was 2018. We're now 2018. So we're now in whatever year, six for spats. Yeah, it's going strong. It's going good. And we've still more of the body to cover and maybe get into the commuter market as well. And we've done a lot of collabs on the back of last year. For the first time ever, we've done collaborations with other brands.
Brilliant.
Which, that was a first for us, two brands from actually Leeds. One was a nutrition brand where we were pretty much the first to do a flask that kept your drink warm on the bike. And we used their nutrition in the flask. So that was a collab product. And then we've done a collab with a bag manufacturer out of Leeds as well. And that worked really well. So there's loads of stuff we can do in that space and expand further. That's good. And we're excited.
And then when did the next venture come to you? Or when did you come up with the next venture?
The next venture, yeah. Tappy Tag. That's the day-to-day at the moment and consuming. And
where did that come from?
Beautiful. Trip to Vegas. Where else, Kerry?
Okay. Didn't think we were going there, but let's go.
Yeah, let's go to Vegas. Yeah, trip to Vegas, 2019, just before the pandemic. Pretty convinced we were that zero case coming back to Europe. But anyway, we went to Vegas, forgot the business cards, had to go in.
What were you doing over there?
We were doing consultancy at the time, meeting a lot of the brands in that consultancy phase, me, Mark and John. And no business cards and collecting an ocean load of business cards over there. Mark kept on saying, there has to be a better way than doing this. This is just a complete joke. It's not environmentally friendly. And how are we going to go through all these? And, you know, spent a couple of hundred bucks on business cards in Vegas. Came back. And in 2020, we spent that whole next year while we were doing consultancy, looking at alternatives. What could we do?
So from that pain point, you decided, right, there's a better way.
Yeah, yeah. All good companies are made out of a pain point, Gary, aren't they? And it has to be something that Mark Mark was like a dog on a bone on it. There has to be something, you know. And he looked at the NFC and building out a cloud. It took a long time. You know what I mean? We had to kind of hire a dispersed group of software developers around the world that could look at this. They came back and said, yeah, you can build out something with QR, but you could also build in NFC, which would be cool. And most of the phones have NFC, so you could actually share with a tap, you know. And February 2021, a year later, Gary, we launched first iteration of TappyTag, which was that basically single user business card, whereby they could get onto our platform and our software that we'd built, the cloud-based software that we'd developed out in the background by, I think at the start, it might've been a PVC card, you know? So again, we could brand up the PVC card with name, title. Then when they tapped, they could create their own profile like you've done there today. And that was our first product launch in February 2021. And then because you're getting it out to customers, they're then giving you pain points where it's getting exciting and you're going, wow, we could grow. So we had corporates coming back and go, yeah, what happens if we want to put 100 people on this? It's a great dilemma. Our attitude in TNS was just say yes. So we were going back to the software developers and going, we've got guys that want to put 100 people on it and they want to centrally manage it from one login.
Okay.
Right. Said, yeah, we could do that. You know, it's going to take a bit of time to build it up. So just try and keep that customer waiting there in the wings. You have a prototype ready in whatever, 6 weeks. See, then, yeah, just a couple of changes to the login screen, but that's perfect. So then we had our corporate offering, which was for the likes who are onboarded today all around here. You got Eversheds, Deloitte's, KPMG, the banks, AIB, all on that corporate managed system where they have a fleet of business cards, like the one here, like the one on me here, they can tap and share their details. And then if someone's title has changed or someone's got a rise or a promotion within the company, they email through to the person that's looking after it. They can change those details.
Amazing.
They can add a PDF. They almost use TappyTag as a business tool. You know what I mean? As a marketing tool, you know? And it's that ultimate networking offering whereby you're never losing a lead again. You're tapping. I was on a call there yesterday. I was telling you just as we were having lunch and it was a recruitment company in London. And the first thing I always say is, where did you hear of us? And she said one of the directors was in Suit Supply, a fashion store in London. And the first thing the guy did in there was he tapped with a TappyTag, the sales rep in there, captured my director's details, forwarded it to the CRM. He had their details. It was a two-way exchange within 30 seconds. Mind-blowing. And he said, we need this. Came back on 24 hours later. I'm on a call with Chrissy. How can we roll it out in our recruitment company? Because we go to recruitment fairs. We might have 600 people coming to the stand where we've got to capture their details and put them into our CRM. Mm. I said, it's done. She goes, what? What do you mean it's done? It's done with TappyTag. I'll give you a demo now. This is how you do it. This is how you capture the details. And with our open API, it will fire directly into your Bullhorn CRM. Mind-blowing. You know what I mean?
And that's such a simple concept when you explain it. Like it's, you know, you just tap back the phone, their details pop up, or you can put up like, I can put up my Spotify or my YouTube or my direct email. It's tweakable. I think that's what's very cool about it.
Totally customizable.
It's not a digital business card. Yeah. It's in like, oh yeah, it taps and it gives me my name and an email. It's literally anything.
Yeah, the customization is beautiful. We've got some companies here, construction companies, who have architectural firms, who not only have they stuff that they want to share, they also would have projects they've done, and they can create custom icons for, you know, a building that they've done an architectural project on, and they might have five of them up there. So when they tap it, that's my details, and that's our, if you like, our brochure.
Your portfolio is right
within
there.
Within 5 seconds, you've got your portfolio. It's all there. So it just makes that connection at the start just amazing. And it's a really good first impression. And it's sustainable. You know what I mean? You're not regurgitating thousands of business cards each year and ordering them up, you know? So there is that big sustainability play with it as well. But
How did you guys, so there's three of you.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we're going to solve, you were doing a bit of consultancy, had this idea, we're going to solve this problem. How did you go from that to Tapitag now where we are, because
yeah,
it sounds simple when you explain it yeah. like that, and it's such an obvious thing, but I'd imagine it wasn't quite so straightforward. So how did you, say, go from zero to one again? Because that's always the hardest
part. Exactly. You know, we had COVID happening in the background.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying, geez, you know, is there anyone out there sharing details? There was.
Conferences are going to be gone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So the consultancy was kind of going on down and down because of the COVID. And it gave us the opportunity to spend more time on Tapitag.
I gotcha.
Which was great. And we're back to the old bedroom.
Got the bug.
Yeah,
got the bug again.
So we're back to Mark's bedroom. He was setting up the printers. We wanted to do this all in-house. You know, for the vehicle, we wanted to be printing. Putting the band back together, back to the bedroom. But in this instance, it was Mark's bedroom in Clondalkin. And he ordered up the printers where he could print the stuff there and we could distribute there. And then we had our dispersed software team were developing out the secret sauce in the background, which is the real, what Tapitag is made of. So, yeah, we're lucky in a time at that moment that the consultancy was taking a backseat. We could focus on.
Okay, I understand.
And we knew pretty quick that we're going to need a premises. So we were looking around. At that time, Mark was thinking of moving to Athlone. His partner was from Athlone. They were going to settle down at Roots. So we said we'd look at Athlone because we don't mind moving out of the six, you know, out of the city here. And we were just, you know, blown away what we could get down there. So we're in the old iconic Midland studio for RTE.
Oh, cool.
Unbelievable. In the center of Athlone. 5 minutes from Sean's bar. It's the dream. You know what I mean?
Oldest bar in Ireland or the world? But there are a few different claims,
universe,
don't they?
Gary,
a few different claims. The famous Sean's bar in Athlone.
Just lovely space down there. And there was a lovely talent pool. We're right beside the university down there as well. So there was a lovely talent pool we could pull from. And it just gave us more space to do what we wanted to do.
This is one of the examples of how COVID has positively impacted some businesses.
Yeah.
Prior COVID, no way would you guys be doing that. You would not be moving your business to Athlone.
No.
Whereas now you realize, well, people are going to be hybrid for some of the week anyway.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. It's been fantastic. Really, really is good. So we were able to basically, you know, push forward with the corporate offering, push forward with the single user offering.
So what's the vision for Tapitag? What's it going to be?
Well, that's what excites me, Gary, because it's where do we focus our attention? There's so much that we can be doing.
It is one of those businesses where you're like, well, this could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things these guys could do. How do you pick what to pursue? Because you can't do everything.
You follow the money.
Good answer.
You follow the money.
Fair.
Yeah, the money at the moment is in the digital business cards, you know, that's where we're making our money. That's where we're getting our interaction and our feedback from our customers on a daily basis of what they want. You know what I mean? So we've the visions of basically, I was telling you over lunch, of creating our app, is our next real game changer in that space. So our corporates and our single users of Tapitag business cards can download the app. They can have a digital business card, but they can have multiple. We're finding a lot of people have multiple things that they work on.
Mm.
They don't just have job A, job B. They can multiple. Like the Revolut app, you can, if you want a physical one, you can order it directly from that. You've got all your analytics in there. You're going to have an OCR scanner where you can actually scan a physical business card. We have a CRM package as well that we're onboarding on that. So you never lose another lead again. Directly from the app, it will fire to your CRM, or it will fire to Salesforce, Bullhorn, or whatever other CRM people are on. So it's that ultimate, it comes back to, we want to create the ultimate networking tool that you can make in a connection with someone in under 5 seconds. It's game changers. You never lose another lead again. And then that's the business card, huge potential there. We've then got an asset management piece that we're rolling out. We got our first customer that we're onboarding on that, whereby we went in to actually sell them the business cards. And they went, this could work as a really good asset management piece, those little phone tags that you have on your phone.
But when you say asset management, what do you mean? Like attaching to physical bits of machinery and equipment, is it?
You've got it in one, Gary.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically, you know, a lot of these companies, Inland Waterways is the one that we're rolling out to this week. We've got our first batch going on tomorrow.
Brilliant.
They've got boats. They've got engines. They've got lawnmowers all up and down the Shannon and up along it. They haven't a clue what they have. And just what's there.
I think that's the vast majority of a lot of businesses with physical inventory. Yeah, like this seems like a no-brainer in terms of, so you can keep track of it. So all I need to do is just scan it and then I know.
It's a tag, you know, on the actual product, you scan it. They've got about 20 different fields for that. When was it last serviced?
Brilliant.
Yeah. Who owns that product? Is it lock 1 or locked 12? Where should that product be? A tutorial on how to use that product.
Amazing.
A lot of people don't know how to use some of the products.
So if I'm sent out to do a job, I'm like, first time in this machine, I can just go pop and it'll show me exactly.
And if you want
that's very smart.
Very smart. If you want to log it out of that site, let's say it's supposed to be at lock 27 or up in Mila Clock or whatever, you have to log it out. So Gary needs to log it out and he needs to tell him where he's moving it. Some of the people would take them home, use that machinery at home. So if there's a movement on it, you have to notify them.
So the chain of custody, you always know where things are. Amazing.
Exactly. So, but we see huge potential, not just for an inland waterways where they want to put a couple of thousand assets on our asset management piece. We see there's hospitals out there that we've got inquiries in from. We've got lots of different industries that could use this as what we're averaging, a low-cost asset management piece. You know what I mean?
But any businesses with heavy machinery or expensive machinery, just trying to track where that is. I love the servicing bit. When was the last serviced? How to use it? Like, it's very clever.
So they were based, obviously, down there in Athlone. They came in to see us at the time. We invited them in. We were obviously trying to show them our, you know, business card solution. And they twigged that this could be something that they could, you know, is there something in this? At the time, we were looking at asset management. So that's going to be phenomenal. And we see huge opportunity for that. And then we've got the whole way of the world at the moment, Gary, is digitization. So we're going to shows. A lot of the shows were going to have come to us and say, can we use Tappy Tag for when you go into a show, just to tap on a disc that's on the wall, see what the agenda is for today, see who's speaking, you know, there. So there's the whole digitization piece that's quite successful for us. Proximity marketing, whereby you go into a coffee shop like we were in, you get good service. Where do you give a good 5-star rating is when you've got good service. If there's a disc just there on the table that you can do a Google review, you can have a Tappy Tag Google
review. Be more accessible, be easier. It's contactless as well, better for the environment.
There's a lot of things to it. Yeah, a lot of things to it. And then one, you know, kind of like our next band, our next wave is Tappy Tag Table. And it's something that we saw at the very start when we were in America and in Canada and in Asia, was by you could tap on when you arrived at a table for dinner, was a little disc on the actual table and there was no waiter service.
Yeah.
So, and we've this built out. So this is ready to go. So you tap on it, the menu comes up, you can, what do you want, Gary? I'll have, you know, rice, I'll have the stew, blah, blah, blah. You're actually doing what that waiter service was doing.
Yeah.
And there's everyone happy with that order.
And people have been programmed by COVID to do this as well. So you now kind of go, oh yeah, it's fine, I'll just do it myself.
Yeah. And you hit enter, it's done. Your bus boy comes down or your bus girl comes down, said your order's in, it's here. There it is there.
And your service is running this. It's funny, it was only this morning where I'm like, restaurants are just the worst in the world. Yeah. You're trying to find their menu online.
I know.
You go online to their website, you have to dig through 3 pages, and then it hits you with a PDF, and you're like, lads, it's 2023.
I know.
If I'm searching for you between the hours of 6 and 10, it should be automatically pushing me your breakfast.
Yeah.
It should be smart enough to know.
Yeah.
There's so many, just this morning I was sitting there going, this is so painful. Like, why is this so old? Why am I getting downloaded a PDF to find a breakfast menu?
Yeah.
Crazy, whereas you just tap yours. And you can interchangeable as well, specials, offers.
And the younger generation are just so on this. You know what I mean?
It just makes sense, right? Yeah. It's just obvious. It just makes sense.
So in my mind, it's just, I'm bamboozled by the opportunity, you know. But as, you know, a business owner with John and Mark, you know, we're focused on, you know, where at the moment is driving, you know, business card is driving, asset management is coming on, the proximity marketing, it's just taken off on its own stream. The digitization just takes off on its own. And then we'll have Tappy Tag Table coming on stream.
You've had a very successful career. You've done extremely well. I think if you'd had one of those successful companies out of the three, it would have been an incredible career. But to have three, what drives you?
I'm just energized by it. Yeah, I'm just, it's weird.
Let's go deeper though. What is driving you? What is energizing you to go and start three companies?
Yeah,
what
is funny, that? Like I've thought about this. I think I'm a competitive bugger, you know what I mean? Both in sport and in business, you know what I mean? Myself and John and Mark were competitive. At the moment, there's two of us. There might be a third after this podcast running a half marathon in March. Myself and Mark are in for it. We're competitive, you know. We're competitive in business. We're always looking at, you know, even in the TNS days, we were always looking at what our competition was doing, you know, in a good way. Competition is brilliant. Even in Tappy Tag, we're looking at what our competition is doing. And that drives us, and it, you know, and we love it. And I think, yeah, I think we're competitive. Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind.
I'm always fascinated with what drives people because inevitably all the great entrepreneurs I chat to, there's something driving them.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to dig into what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's generally a competitive spirit. They're curious, number one, and competitive, number two.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'll, you know, constantly go on each day, you know, and, you know, there might be whatever in our Tappy Tag space, four or five competitors out there. And even Mark and Johnny are on it as well. And we're looking at what those guys are doing as well, you know. But you go back to our TNS days, we were doing the exact same. We were basically, what's he doing? You know what I mean? And ironically, actually, after our TNS days, we went and did consultancy then for some of those competitors. So that was fun. We became good friends with them.
What's success for you? What does success look like?
Yeah, it's. I think, listen, the balance is key. You know what I mean? You got to have the balance between, you know, that work-life balance as well. So it's got to be, you know, success in the business, but also success in the family, the whole environment. You know what I mean? I think in my TNS days, I learned that I was too focused. It's too self-driven on the TNS. Sometimes, you know, the family, you know, and your health, my health fell by the wayside. So success is the kind of the whole package. You know what I mean? It's not just the business. What about your family life, your wellness and stuff like that, and well-rounded, you know what I mean? So we are focused on, the, you know, the kind of whole package. I neglected that totally, Gary, you know, for the first set.
What changed? Why did you suddenly realize that?
I failed a medical. It took me to fail a medical for a mortgage.
Okay.
I was buying a house about 2007, I bought the house, went in and everything was good. Buying the house, you're moving, you know, great, and bang, you failed the medical for that mortgage.
And that was the wake-up call.
That was the wake-up call. So success is, yeah, it's the whole total package. You know what I mean? And I suppose when you're young, you know, you're... Me and Johnny were just driven on TNS, you know.
You can bounce back quicker when you're young as well.
Yeah, it was TNS, TNS, TNS. We both got married in the same month, August, because it was the quietest month of the year for TNS. You laugh at that, but that's true. That is true.
I kind of admire that obsession.
You know what I mean? We were just obsessed, but now success is, you know, how's Yasmin, how's Jonah, how's Madri, how's wife, friends.
Can you switch off? Can you switch off from business?
Yeah, I've learned. I couldn't back in the TNS days. I couldn't. Now I can. I'm better at doing it.
How do you switch off?
I think exercise is a big release for me. You know what I mean? It gets everything running. I feel way better now when I'm in a routine, and I'm going back into my triathlon days now, Gary, where I'd still, you know, try to swim once or twice a week. I'd get in the bike, and now I can only probably run twice a week with my aging body. But I just feel brilliant after a bit of exercise. This morning I jumped on the turbo. You know, it was indoor because it was really icy outside, so I couldn't get out on the bike. And
but you still, you know, got it done.
And it's that getting it done, Gary. Yeah. It's like you just hard getting on the turbo, hard, then get up there, you know, prepping a bit for your podcast on there, what I'm going to talk about. Then, you know, a hill comes in Watapo and in the Swift world, and I'm racing up that hill.
That competitive engine is...
And I'm trying to beat the guy next to me, and I'm trying to beat my PB, because...
I think that's the analogy for your life, right? You're racing up that hill, you're just trying to get that thing.
Yeah, and even in that, that's why I go back to the competitive thing. I think I am a competitive... I know I am a competitive booker, everyone tells me, you know, but but you got to have that drive. But I think through my career, I've learned to try and get that balance a bit more.
Is that what you tell young Ivan if you were like Ivan back 2002?
I wouldn't.
Is that what you'd say to him?
No, I wouldn't knock young Ivan back then, because, you know, he had his dreams and goals. So did Johnny, had his dreams and goals. You can't knock them back then. And to be driven, and we had so many knockbacks back in the house, It's unbelievable. One of our biggest ones at the very start was someone in the UK had the exact same name as us. You know, within 2 months of starting up, we had to change our name.
It's so common. I think that happens to us all. And amazingly, we've all had that.
Amazingly, Gary, we told them we'd just operate in Ireland. They said, okay, that's fine. As it happened, we went global. They end up changing their name. But, you know, you can't knock that young John Ivan at the start, you know, having a passion and 24/7 was all about TNS because that was their dream back then. But I think age and as you get a little bit older, you kind of go, listen, you know, there's more to life, you know what I mean? And, you know, just try to become more rounded. But would I knock Ivan back then or John back then or Mark? No. You know, you've got to have that. And that's why, yeah, I'd be pretty supportive of any entrepreneur, you know, want to lend time or, you know, I do that all the time.
You've got to find your own way.
Yeah. That young person out there who, you know, is trying to start a career and stuff like that. Yeah, it's, I wouldn't knock them, no.
Okay, so tell me, what's the future for Tappetag? What would you like to happen in the next kind of 3 to 5 years for Tappetag if we're sitting down here again in a couple of years?
Yeah, let's say we're sitting down here in a couple of years. Say, Ivan, wow, I've been into the restaurant around the corner. I'm using Tappetag menu. You know, I was in, you know, the Mater Hospital in town. I saw one of your tags on the bed. How's your asset management piece going? It's obviously going pretty well because you've rolled that out. And your digital business cards, every, you know, 1 in 5 person that I meet is tapping me with making that initial connection. Wow, mind blowing. What's the next phase? So I think, Gary, we've got to, you know, you can see what I've mapped out on the verticals here today. We've got a load of work ahead of us in mapping out those universes, you know, but it's going to be exciting and we're going to have fun along the way. That's the key thing. You know what I mean? Have fun along the way.
I feel energized. I just literally haven't had that hour with you. Yeah. I didn't need that next coffee.
Yeah.
Ivan, is there a book that's made an impact on you personally or professionally, or is there any other method that you've learned?
Yeah. I mean, I do like dabbling into a book and I do like getting fixated on book. But one of the first really good books that I read many years ago now was Jack Welch. Straight from the gut. I was engrossed with that book at the start. And it was just how he, you know, even though he was working for, you know, the biggest company at the time, it was just his story about how he'd, in such a big company, worked his way up from just a normal operative. You know, his dream was, he had the dream and worked his way to the very, 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 very top pinnacle of that company. I thought was fascinated how you could do that, you know, and the drive he had. So that was one that comes to mind. But
brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Where can people get Tappetag and where can they learn more about you?
Tappetag.co. We do obviously a lot of direct selling through there. So they can go on there. We're on all the Meta Universes, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. That's the new one.
Brilliant. So Tappetag.co.
Tappetag.co. Yeah, they could find out all about it there.
Brilliant. Ivan, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, take it easy. Cheers, Gary.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please hit subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, as it really does help the podcast grow and reach new people. If you want to learn more about the podcast, go to mrgaryfox.com. I'll see you back here in a couple of days for a brand new episode.